Thank you very much to the leadership for giving me this honor and privilege to share with you all this morning. I can't recall when I was here the last time, but I think it was probably quite a while ago. It's interesting when Ching Chung was introducing, and I recall that I've almost 30 years serving at Focus on the Family. I thought it would only be 4 years when I started Focus, but the Lord's plan is always not man's plan. So I've been talking about this topic for almost 30 years. My wife, Sui Chu, she wished she could be here, but she's now actually in Melbourne with our two grandchildren. We have not seen them for a while. And because I have to speak, I will only join her on Tuesday. That reminds me of a pastor who's been preaching for 30 years. And one morning when he woke up, he was frantically looking for his collar to put on before he goes to church. But he searched all over the house and he couldn't find his collar. So he came upon this drawer, and when he opened up the drawer, he found three eggs and a stack of $1 bill. But he couldn't find his collar. So he asked his wife, he said, "Honey, could you just explain what are these three eggs and this one stack of $1 bill is all about?" And then the wife lovingly and warmly told the husband, he said, "Darling, after you have preached a poor sermon, I will collect one egg." And he said, "Not bad. After 30 years, only three eggs." Then he said, "What about the whole stack of a dollar bill?" He said, "Once I've collected 12 eggs, I sell to the neighbor for $1. So that's not the reason why my wife is not here. Not to collect eggs on my behalf. But seriously, she really wished she could join, because I know she knows some of you who are worshiping in this church as well. Today, as George was giving me a call and asked me what topic I would like to share, I actually presented to, and he actually said, "Why don't you speak on building a strong family," which I felt was quite apt in the light of what we have experienced this morning. Some of you have been journeying with us at Focus on the Family for many years through your prayer, through being a volunteer, through your financial support, and we just want to express our thanks to each one of you. Some of you may not have heard of Focus on the Family. If I can just indulge you for 5 to 7 minutes, we have a very clear vision, and that is to, pardon me, I just came back from Bicol, Philippines, and I was stuck on the plane for 2 hours because of the typhoon. I thought I couldn't make it even for this morning stop. So our vision is very clear, is to see enriched families nationwide. And that's really our vision, with a threefold mission, and that is to nurture, to support, and to protect the institution of the family. I guess the two words, to nurture and to support, are quite self-defining. But when we begin to look at protect the family, there's only so much we can do, but we need to do it, because the family institution is continuously being redefined. In 2009, which was the 60th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, I have the privilege to speak at the United Nations to talk about the importance of a marriage institution which is between a man and a woman. Because at that point in time, there were 55 countries internationally who were trying to redefine Article 16.3 of the UDHR, which states that the marriage union is between a man and a woman. And they wanted to redefine it and said the marriage institution should be between two individuals. And I guess you know where they are coming from. At the same time, 45 countries was challenging that proposal to redefine the institution. Hence, there was a lot of small talk, so to speak, that was going on within the UN to challenge this redefinition. And I had the privilege to address that particular event or the issue. And you can see that the proposal to redefine that marriage institution is also growing in our Asian country. When I started Focus on the Family in 1997, I found out there were only 3 countries in the world that has legalized same-sex marriage. Now there are almost 30 countries in the world that has legalized same-sex marriage. And in the Asia region, we have 2 countries. Taiwan started with it, and Thailand actually followed soon after that. And therefore, you and I, believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Church of the Lord Jesus, need to protect the institution of the family, because the family is a God-ordained institution right at the beginning of time, and it's not a man-made institution. And I'll say more about this afterwards. So at Focus, with 25, 26 staff, there's only so much we could do. We are looking at three main areas or genre in the area of family. One is the importance of parenting program, because we know that nobody goes into a parenting university. All of us are given 9-month notice, but somehow some of us do not take that seriously. And lo and behold, our children come about and we don't even know what to do about it. But yet, all of us are called to be parents. Those of us who are parents, we know that it is not a bed of roses when it comes to parenting. It's always a tough walk, a tough journey that we have, especially when our children are going into their adolescence years where they have their own identity. So at Focus, we try our best to come up with various parenting programs, of which our flagship program has been our parenting bond, our parent bonding event. And these are primarily for parent and their individual child. So we have our father and son, our father and daughter, which we just had over the last weekend. Then we have our mother, son, and mother and daughter event. We are thankful to the Lord that over the years, we are able to reach about 50,000 parents. So these are our parent bonding programs. And some of you who may be interested, you're welcome to look at our website to find out a bit more. The other genre that we are looking at is in the area of marriage. And as Pastor has mentioned just now, that there is a worrying trend that confronts us here in Malaysia, actually not only in Malaysia, but globally and regionally, that the divorce rate is steadily increasing. When we started Focus in 2001, I actually was looking at the divorce rate. In Malaysia, there are two sets of divorce rate. One is for the Muslim community, and the other one is for the non-Muslim community. And these are the stats that's confronting us. In 2001, within the non-Muslim community is about 6%, and the Muslim community is about 14.5%. 2 decades down the road, in 2021, this is the stats that we have, is non-Muslim has grown to about 18% and Muslim to about 31%. And you and I would probably know that there are many marriages that are not just that are just surviving rather than thriving. And therefore, we feel that the marriage institution, as mentioned by the book of Ephesians, so aptly described, is a relationship between Christ and the church. And therefore, it is no wonder the devil will do all he can to destroy and disrupt the institution of marriage. So at Focus, we are trying to do what we can to preserve and to protect the institution of marriage. One of our flagship programs is called the Date Night Event, which is getting our married couples to date. And the reason why we came up with this has got a story, actually. There was a couple who came to us who have not even celebrated. They were at the year of their 25th year of marriage. They have not even celebrated their 25th anniversary. They came to us for counseling because they are actually seeking divorce in their marriage. And it really surprised me. After being married for 25 years, and now this couple is really asking for divorce. I won't go into the details, but what impacted us from this particular couple is that we cannot take marriage for granted. You know, when we entered into a marriage relationship, we are so attracted by the person who is so different, who's so different from us, who's basically think differently, reacts differently, respond differently. But unfortunately, once we get married, we are so disturbed by the differences. And that's really one of the costs of divorce in marriage in Malaysia, which we have got the finding on what are the causes of divorce in Malaysia. And the number one is actually the lack of understanding between husband and wife. So through this event, we are trying to remind couples that, hey, when your children come around, it is just not only focusing on the children, but you still need to focus on one another. And hence, we have our date night event. And we are really thankful that over the years, we do have different kind of couples who have come to our marriage counseling event. I think I missed out that particular slide. Yeah. If you notice that particular couple on your right, is he from this church? No? That couple. The second from your right. Guess how long have they been married? They've been married for 64 years, and yet they were attending a date night event. We were really encouraged. So we have got couples who have been married for different period of time, and yet attending our date night event. The reason why I want to mention about the marriage assessment is that you can scan this QR code. It's a free assessment on the 10 traits that may affect your marriage or may be affecting your marriage, that you can do a very simple assessment It's only 50 questions that you can actually respond to. And then you can look at what are the areas in your marriage relationship that you may need or you may want to address accordingly. And the third genre that we are looking at is obviously the youth. And that's why I was so glad to see the Boys Brigade enrollment event, right? You call it an enrollment event. Is that there are issues facing our young people today. There is a mental disorder issue on one in eight adolescents at the age of 10 to 19 years old are confronted with the issue of mental issues. Children one in 20 at the age of 5 to 9 years old. The youth in Malaysia, 25% of teenagers grapple with the feelings of depression. This was reported in the year 2022. 62% under the age of 22 had sex or sexual experiences. 48 learned about sex through pornography. And then 41,000 teenage pregnancies from the year 2017 to the year 2022. And so there are issues confronting our young people today as well. At Focus, we are also trying to reach the young people through the school. And we are really thankful to the Lord that God has given us a program called No Apologies, of which many of you may be familiar with or may have even attended the No Apologies program, of which we are able to take to public schools in Malaysia to conduct this program as well. It's a program that at the end of the program, we actually ask them to sign a pledge card to remain abstinent from negative behavior, including sexual behavior. So it is a very interesting program because before the program, we would ask young people what is their opinion of having sex before marriage. So we ask them the question, when do you think is the right time to have sex? Unfortunately, they say nighttime and say, no, that's not what we mean. Some of them say, after you have a shower. No, that's not what we mean. So what we meant is before you get married or after you get married. And we actually have about 38% of young people in Malaysia who said it is okay to have sex before you get married. So after the event, we asked them to sign this pledge card. And today, after reaching out to almost 130,000 students, we are thankful that we have changed about 78% of the mindset of the young people, with 90% of the people taking a pledge to remain sexually abstinent until they get married. What I want to mention also is that the minister, the Ministry of Family and Development, asks us, how effective is your signing of the pledge mechanism that you get the young people to sign the pledge? You say that, or you claim that you have got 90% of young people signing the pledge, but how many of them are actually keeping the pledge? And that's the most important thing, right? It's no point signing it, but you don't keep it. So we actually did a study with much fear and trepidation on young people who have done or who have signed the pledge more than 10 years ago, and if they are still keeping the pledge. We have a certain percent who has stopped keeping the pledge because they are married. I'm thankful for that. But we have got about 90% of the 3,000 over people whom we did the study who has actually kept the pledge. And to me, that's a fantastic rate. We are sad for the 10% who have broken the pledge, but at the same time, we are really thankful that 90% of young people who have kept the pledge, or signed the pledge, have actually kept the pledge. And what it's telling us is that if you get young people to take ownership, the tendency is that they will abide by it. But if you continue to just teach and tell them what to do, maybe they may refrain or resist from listening to you. We also provide counseling services. I think that's inevitable. I sort of alluded to that just now. But of the 400 to 500 sessions of counseling that we do at Focus, it's interesting to know that more than 50% has got to do with marital conflict. So marriage issue, marital conflict, still number one issues that's facing us for those people who are coming for counseling. Financial support, some of you may be wondering, we are actually running at about 25 staff at this moment. We have got about six volunteer counselors. We are running on the $2 million budget, of which 65% comes from donation. The remaining 35% comes from the activities that we do, and of which 72% are from individuals. We get some funding from the government, 3%, and from churches, about 25%. Pray with us. Focus is almost 50 years, started by Dr. James Dobson, as mentioned just now. In 2 years' time, we'll be 50 years old. In Malaysia, we'll be 30 years old in 2 years' time. And we felt that if God has given us a brand that seems to have extended into time for almost 50 years, why don't we leverage on that and try to increase our impact? So we are praying to the Lord. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says that man can plan in his heart, but it is the Lord who will direct their steps, right? So this is in our heart. And we are praying that the Lord will direct our steps to reach 5 times more people than we are reaching. In Malaysia, we reach out to about 20,000 people every year. So we hope that in 5 years' time, we could reach about 100,000 people. So pray with us. We feel that in this day and age, through various form, we are able to definitely reach more people than before, especially in the age of AI and in the age of social media. So with that, let me talk on the topic, building a strong family. What time do you all usually end? 11:30. Somebody said, now, let's close in prayer. Okay, I may take up to 11:35 at most, all right? 11:30 would be what I'm aiming for, building a strong family. The question is, why do we need to emphasize about that? Some of you here may be young people, some of you may not be married, and you said, it probably doesn't apply to me, but I beg to differ. But then all of us belong to a family, whether we are married or not married, whether we are parents, whether we are grandparents, great-grandparents, we are all part of family, and family is a God-ordained institution. It's a God thing, it's not a man thing. The 16th president of the USA, Abraham Lincoln, said that the state of union of a nation depends on the state of union of a family. And he got it right. He says that if the nation wants to be strong, the family has got to be strong. The great philosopher Plato says that the family or the nation is a family picture painted large. The nation is a family picture painted large. And if you look at the book of Genesis, of which many of us are familiar with the creation story, during the time of creation, when God has created almost everything, his final creation was mankind. And he made this great announcement, let us now make something, in this case man, after our own image. And I was just wondering, at a point in time, all that God has created, the creatures and all that he has created must be wondering, what is God going to create that's going to be after man's image? And God created man in the person of Adam. But did God stop creating after he created Adam? No. In fact, interestingly, God went on to say what? It is not good for man to be alone. And this is before the fall of mankind. Before sin entered into the world, God is saying it is not good for man to be alone. And then out of the sight of Adam, he created a woman in the person of Eve for Adam. And Genesis 2 went on to say that God did not rest after that. In fact, he says, now at the union of man and woman, go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. And then God rested on the seventh day. And that's really the theological reason why we are focusing on the family. The family is a God-ordained institution created right at the beginning of time. Man, woman, and children, the earthly trinity representing the heavenly trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Living together in intimacy, living together in connectedness, living together in communication and fellowship. And therefore, it is no wonder the devil wants to destroy this institution. In fact, I read a theologian once, and I thought he has got a very interesting thought to this. He said that Lucifer, that great angel, was hoping that he would be that image of God. But he wasn't. And God created mankind to represent his image. Therefore, Lucifer became seriously angry that he was given the short end of the stick. And therefore, he is now called as the devil, like a roaring lion, prowling around from one end of the earth to the other, seeking those whom he can devour. And therefore, the devil is active in destroying family, because when the family is intact, it represents that heavenly trinity. So it is no wonder when divorce rate is increasing. It is no wonder when parents and children are having strained relationship with one another, because the devil does not want to see that. Ephesians tells us that so clearly, right? Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. So when husband is loving the church unconditionally, sacrificially, we are actually showing to the world how Christ is loving the church. And therefore, the rates of divorce is increasing, and the devil is laughing. And you and I, as the Church of the Lord Jesus, has got to protect the institution of the family, because that's a concept of God's image. And you and I know that there are struggles in marriages. Many of us are probably going through it. Some of us know of family members who are having it, if not friends who are going through it. There are challenges in parenting, and I've said that just now, that we struggle because sometimes we really don't know what to do, especially in this day whereby our children are so exposed to technology that's beyond what we can understand. There are children who say that they are not connecting with the parents because they seem to feel that the parents are of a different generation as compared to them. There's spiritual leadership that is lacking at the home, and I'm going to give you a stats afterwards. There's fathers whose role that we are supposed to play, and we are not playing that role. And Ephesians says that as well. In fact, it's very interesting in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 5, Paul was talking about husband and wife. And then finally, in chapter 6, verse 1, he turned not to the mothers, but he turned to the fathers. And what did he say? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. He was very specific. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. And when you read further, how do we fathers exasperate our children? And Paul says, when we don't bring them up in the instructions of the Lord. And that's when we missed out in our role as fathers. And I'm calling all of us fathers that we need to step up. We need to step up to play that role in imparting spiritual truth to our children. Therefore, there is a need to respond to these challenges and to these struggles. But I think there is a greater need, is that if we can be more proactive and preventive, that we actually prevent issues from rising in our family. Why do we do date night? Is that we hope that through this event, we would actually continue to restore and preserve marriages that God has given us. Why are we doing parent and child bonding program? Because we know that that is a very important relationship between a parent and a child. And we want to be preventive and proactive. Because the family is a God-ordained institution. It's the foundation of society. Being an engineer, I like to use engineering terms, right? Foundation is a good word. The foundation of society. Because in Psalms 11 verse 3 says, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the family is the bedrock, is the foundation of society, if we don't strengthen that, and that is being destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'd like to propose for this morning that we consider three things from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 1 to 12, on what are the three foundations, and this is not rocket science, all right? What are the three foundations from the book of Deuteronomy that we can embrace to build a strong family? If I can suggest, number one is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 4, chapter 6, verses 4 and verse 5, is to love the Lord your God. This is a situation when the children of Israel was about to enter into the promised land. And here Moses was telling the children of Israel that if you want to live long on this earth, these are the commandments that God has given to us. And this is what it is. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Don't read it as love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, and strength. All right? There's a Trinitarian emphasis here on how we need to love God with these three facilities or three components of our being, with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. You know, another time when Jesus actually gave the Trinitarian command is in baptism, right? Go and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we don't say that baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the Trinitarian emphasis. And when there is such an emphasis, we really got to take note of. What does he mean by loving God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength? And I'd like to propose that the first thing is God has got to be Yahweh, God of your life. In the Bible, there's two ways to spell Lord. One is when you have got a capital L-O-R-D, or another one is capital L and small O-R-D. But whenever capital are being used, L-O-R-D, he's talking about the Yahweh God and none other. That means God must be preeminent. He must be the foremost of your life and my life. One of my favorite authors is Henry Blackaby, and in his book, Experiencing God, he has got this to say. He said that if you want God to be the Yahweh God of your life, then you need to have a conscious awareness that God is watching everything and evaluating everything that I think, I say, and I do. If we can wake up each morning making this prayer, that God, you are the Yahweh God of my life, and therefore I want you to evaluate everything that I think, I say, and I do, I suspect that in the indwelling Holy Spirit that's within us, that our Christian life and experience would make a better difference compared to what we are going through right now. If we have this Trinitarian love, then we would be what Matthew talks about, that we will be the salt and the light of the earth. Another author is called William Deal, and he wrote this book called The Monday Connection. I thought this is a great book. This is a book that talks about how do you connect your Sunday, when you have the right hallelujah and the right amens, to your Monday, when you go to the office and you meet a nasty neighbor or a nasty driver. Do you have that Monday connection to the Sunday when you come to God to worship? Do you have that Monday connection when you get to college and be influenced by your peers? Would you have that Monday connection when you actually need to compromise on some of your values and your belief? Because the God whom we worship on the Sunday, William Deal says, should be the God that we worship in whatever we do on a Monday to the rest of the week. This is a story of Bob. Bob is not his real name. It's a pseudonym that I'm using. But this friend of mine, he passed away quite a number of years ago. And I remember attending his funeral service. And as we were walking towards the funeral service, Bob is a Christian. A fellow colleague of Bob was also going for the funeral service. And this was a common friend. So I spoke to him and he spoke to me. And then as we were sitting down, he was looking a bit puzzled. Then he bent over and he said, I didn't know that Bob was a Christian because he realized that it's a funeral service. I said, how long have you been working with Bob? He said, I've been working with Bob for the last 7 years. I was saddened by that. I was saddened, number one, by his passing away, but I was also saddened by the fact that sometimes people can be surrounding us for 7 years, maybe even 17 years, and that they do not know that we are Christians, that we believe in the God of the universe. Maybe we need to really ask ourselves this question. Are we loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our strength, when actually our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues know that we are believing Christians? How is God's love, how is that agape love of God reflected in your life and in my life? And if you really want to build a strong family, we got to go back to basic. The basic is that we got to start right. And that's to start by loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Foundation number two is in verse 6 and verse 7. This is one of my favorite two verses in the Bible. It says that be captured by God's word and then pass it on to our children. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Let me just pause at verse 6. It didn't say that these commandments that I give you today must be upon your head. You know, many of us have got very good head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. The Bible speaks that from the depth of the heart, the mouth speaks. Psychologists today say that the greatest distance on earth is between the head and the heart. Because many of us know we have a good knowledge. In this day of ChatGPT, AI, and whatever that you have, there is so much knowledge that's surrounding us, that's confronting us. But has it captured your heart? If God's word is something that you have in your head but not in your heart, then I pray, brothers and sisters, that you really need to assess, are you living out God's word in your life? Because unless we understand verse 6, it's very difficult for us to read verse 7. Unless God's word has captured your heart and my heart, because verse 7 says that then you can impress them on your children. Then you can do it 24/7. Talk to your children when you are sitting down at home, when you are walking along the road, when you are lying down, and when you are getting up. And that is 24/7, that we are consciously aware and intentional in passing on God's truth to our children. So have we become so Google-based or AI-based instead of Bible-based? Have you worn out the knee pads on your knees rather than the keypads that's on your computers? And many of us have probably changed our keypads many times because we have worn it. We have worn it out. You go and see a doctor. The doctor said there's a lump on your armpit. What do you do when you go back? You Google, lump on armpit. Or are we coming to God on our knees and say, God, I've got a lump on my armpit, and I really need to seek your wisdom and your guidance on what are the next steps that I need to do. I suspect that many of us, even before we get home, we are already using our mobile to Google what the doctor has actually diagnosed with us. But the Bible is telling, the Word of God is telling us now that we have to come to God on our knees and to wear off the knee pads rather than the keypads in our computer. How serious are we in being captured by the Word of God? NECF, the National Evangelical Christian Fellowship, did a study not too long ago, and they said that 59.2% of Christians, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, hardly have any family devotion. That's more than 50% of us sitting here hardly have any family devotion, if you are a representative of the Christian community. 41% of Christian leaders hardly have any family devotion. And these are the stats from NECF. And yet God's word, it says what? These commandments that I give you today, if you want to build a strong family, must capture your hearts, and then we need to impress them onto our children. And you and I are responsible in passing on God's truth to our children. Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 says that at every possible moment. And my third and final point is to remember His goodness and His providence. So as I said, it's really not rocket science, right? If you want to build a strong family, let's go back to the basic. Number one is to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Number two is to be captured by His word and pass it on to our children. And number three is not to forget His providence. Not to forget His goodness and His providence. I want to read verse 10 to verse 12. He says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Let me pause there. God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us as His children, as His people. There is nothing wrong if you are driving a BMW. There's nothing wrong if you are living in a bungalow. God wants to bless us. But I think what we really need to take note of is what you have today is not because of the cable connection that you have. It's not because of the education that you have, because of the influence that you have. Because it is so easy to attribute what we have to our own human capability. That we have got in at the right time and got out at the right time. And we forget the remaining verse. Because the remaining verse says that, and then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Do not ever forget the Lord your God. I'm just hoping that someone would have an alarm that has got this voice. Wake up, do not forget the Lord your God. Wouldn't it be amazing? The alarm rings each morning to remind us not to forget the Lord your God. Because God desires to bless us and we are asked to watch out. In fact, if you turn to two chapters down the road, which is Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 19, it says that if you ever forget the Lord your God and bow down to worship other gods, you will surely be destroyed. I don't know about you. I read that verse with much fear and trepidation because I have forgotten God. I have forgotten God so many times in my life. And yet I'm standing here, brothers and sisters, is by the grace and the mercy of God. My wife, Suchu, and I constantly remind one another and say, let us not forget God, that we are here because of God's grace and mercy, because God would have destroyed us. We have forgotten Him. But let us not take God for granted, right? Let us not stretch Him whereby we be destroyed. Because the fact of the matter is that he owns it all, and we are called to be responsible stewards. In fact, Micah says what? He says that if you give your tithes and your offerings, see, I will not open the floodgates of heaven and give you beyond what you can imagine. God is just asking us not to forget him, to honor him, to respect him, and to give him what is due to him. And that reminds me of a Monopoly game. I think many of us would have played Monopoly before. During my time, it is Piccadilly Circus, Covent Garden. Now it's Jalan Tunku Abdul Rahman, Jalan Pekeliling, the Malaysian version. But many years ago, when my oldest daughter, Sarah, was still very young, I came home one day and she said, "Dad, there is a new game called Monopoly." And she must have heard it from a friend. So I said, "Yeah, Dad actually has got a game of Monopoly." So we took up Monopoly and we played that night. And as I was playing with Sarah Monopoly, I still remember I was buying up the street. And after I bought up the street enough, I began to build houses. And each time when she comes by, I was collecting rent from her, right? Then the houses become hotels. I was really accumulating my wealth, so to speak. And after some time, with all the cash that I have and with all the houses and the hotels, Sarah realized that she was losing the game, and she said to me, "Dad, I think you won." I said, "Yeah, of course. Look at the cash and the house and the house and the hotels that I have." Then Sarah said, "Dad, since you won the game, why don't you pack up?" So I pack up the game. I was putting the cash back into the box, the houses, the hotels, and the street names and all back in the box. And then it occurred to me that Monopoly is not just a game. It is a game of life. That at the end of the day, it goes back to the box. We can't say that I'm going to rent a 40-foot container and take it with me. It doesn't work that way. That economics doesn't work that way. God has given us what we are to spend on earth, and he asks us to remember his goodness and to be faithful steward of what he has given us. So let us not forget the Lord our God. And if you want to build a strong family, as I said, these are these three things which, if I can just remind each one of us afresh from the book of Deuteronomy. Number one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Number two is to love his word and to be intentional to pass it on to his children. And we can only love his word if we are being captured by his word. And number three is to remember that what we have today is God's goodness and God's providence, and we are to be responsible stewards. And if we can live that out in our family, I suspect that then God will enable us to build the family that God desires of us. As what I share with you today is not rocket science, let me just share with you this story. Some of us may say, those are good points, but well, thank you very much, but I'll see what happens. But if you don't do something about it, I feel that for the last half hour I stand by here would be a waste. So I want to end by telling you this story. This is a story of an eagle. An eagle was flying high and majestic in the sky, and it was observing the beauty far up above, 10,000 feet above sea level. And he has been observing this beauty almost every day. One day the eagle spoke to himself and he said, "I wonder what the beauty would be like down below from a different perspective. Because I've always been at this altitude, I don't know what it would be like at a lower altitude. It's just like today. I've never looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6 that way before. Thank you for giving me that perspective." So the eagle looked at down below him, and there was this huge meandering stream. And on the stream was a huge ice block. And he said, "Maybe I should land on that ice block and see how beautiful that perspective would be like." So the eagle flew down, and actually after catching a fish, he landed on an ice block. And he was observing the beauty from that perspective. And he said, "Yeah, it's quite interesting from this level compared to where I've been all this while." And it would be something like us. That we say, "Thank you. It's good perspective on Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. But what happened to the eagle is that the eagle is a very high and mighty bird of the air. And in front of the eagle was a huge waterfall. And the eagle knows that if he doesn't take off, he's going to go down with a block of ice down the waterfall. But the eagle says, "You know what? I'm a very mighty bird, strong with my wings, and I can take off any time that I like. Maybe I can wait until I reach the edge of the waterfall before I take off." And some of us may not be experiencing any problem with our family right now and say, I don't need to do anything about loving God, being captured by His word and pass it on to our children and responding to God's goodness and faithfulness and providence because I've got no issue right now. But you know what happened to the eagle when he spoke to himself that way? He came to the edge of the waterfall and he wanted to take off, but he couldn't take off anymore because the warmth of his feet has been encapsulated by the ice that was on the block of ice. It was being trapped, and the bird went down with the block of ice. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that that will not happen to your family, that you are not doing anything about it until the time comes when you want to do something about it, and it was just a little too late. Thank you very much for your time, and may God bless you and your family.